famous song and see if you recognise it.
Glastonbury this summer. What bigger stage for Motorhead's signature hit, Ace of Spades. For 40 years, Lemmy, real name Ian Kilmister, growled out some of metal's loudest hits, inspiring later generations of rockers like Dave Grohl, Slash.
Music!
There was the guest appearance on The Young Ones and Ace of Spades, the acoustic blues version.
The Ace of Spades.
The music, the life, the drugs, Lemmy devoured them all.
It's from loving what you do, you know. That's all you need, really. I mean, most people in their life don't get to do a job they even like remotely. For a week even, you know, I get to do it all the time. It's great.
Lemmy started as a roadie with this man, claiming not to remember much about him.
You were a roadie for Jimi Hendrix, weren't you, at
I
one
was.
Time? What was
Pretty
that
fun.
Like?
It was very confusing, really, what with all the acid and everything.
But Hendrix was the awakening he'd often refer to. The early 70s, and Lemmy took his gravelly tones to Hawkwind, but was kicked out for drugs. Before founding Motorhead, the genesis of metal.
So if you're in rock and roll bands and you're rehearsing, you think you're loud, you think you're heavy, you think you're nasty, put on Motorhead, and if you're anywhere near that, you're getting somewhere. If you're not anywhere near that, just give up. Stop wasting everybody's time.
Motorhead kept recording, kept touring, kept releasing albums. But of late, Lemmy was clearly unwell, and it showed in one of his last appearances on camera when their Paris gig was cancelled post-IS attacks.
I would have gone on the day after. You know, if they stop you, then they win. And they're not going to beat me.
Lemmy was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer on Boxing Day. He died last night, age 70.
This is the Radio Werewolf News Hour. Brought to you by RadioWerewolf.com.
Now, Israel's defense forces are often accused of impunity by human rights groups, but in fact, some Israeli soldiers are being held to account for their actions. However, a number of indictment cases appear a little strange. RT's Paulus Lear investigates.
Using force as an Israeli soldier has consequences. But as it turns out, those consequences depend very much on who exactly you're using that force against. Watch this soldier. He beats a young Palestinian man who is simply watching clashes between the army and young Palestinians. The army's response? Silence. Now watch this video. Two elite combat soldiers shoot dead a camel for no apparent reason. The army's response? To arrest and jail them. We asked the IDF to comment. It took several days, but they eventually sent us an email saying the IDF takes the illegal use of weapons against humans and against animals very seriously. But that doesn't explain why the different responses.
Israeli humanitarian organizations complain that most cases of Israeli soldiers assaulting Palestinians are overlooked. Statistics support the claims. In the last 15 years, indictments were submitted for only 5 investigations opened, and most of them had nothing to do with violent incidents.
Yeshdin is a humanitarian organization that monitors the army's investigations. It shows that for the 15 indictments served in 2014, 9 of them were for damage to property and bribery, 5 for violence, and only 1 for death.
This creates actually a state of impunity for those soldiers.
And it reinforces itself because the Israeli soldiers know that even if they cause harm or even if they commit an offense, the chances that they will stand trial and that justice will be sought is very slim.
The result, critics complain, is a reluctance by the army to indict soldiers for offenses committed towards Palestinians, and it perpetuates their ill treatment.
People are not born like this. It's in the air all the time. If you want to keep the Palestinian population under occupation, you have to push them into a certain hole, like second class, third class. They are dark and they are threatening, and some of the people take it very seriously.
As more and more videos circle online and groups take to the international stage, the IDF is likely to be called on even more to explain its actions. Paul Islia, RT, Tel Aviv.
Hey everyone, this is Spiro. About a week ago, I reported that the NYPD had received what they called at that time a credible threat to the city during this holiday season. Now, shortly after that, the feds countered that and said, well, it could be any city in the U.S. throughout these holidays. It's pretty amazing to see how quickly the mainstream media as well as local media can be reeled in and change their story, change their tune at the request of, well, who knows who. I mean, we all know who owns the media, and we all know that the media is oftentimes the mouthpiece for the establishment. So they stated that there was no credible threat. They changed their story. And let's just say that there was a real credible threat. I'm not so sure that they would share that with the public. I don't know. It just seems like they put out the threat levels according to how they want the public to react, obviously. Now, we know that they want to keep the public in that perpetual state of fear. That way they're very obedient and subservient and on the short leash of a hard-hitting police state. Now, no doubt, either way, you can expect a heavy police presence in Times Square in New York for this New Year's Eve celebration, which usually has about 1 million people packed into Times Square. Talk about somewhere I don't want to be. That is one spot there that there's just so many people. There's nothing you can do. You can't move. You can't get out. You can't, you know. That would not be a safe place to be, I don't think, a smart place to be. But regardless, the NYPD insists that it's going to be completely safe, and their security measures are more extensive than ever, according to the mayor, Bill de Blasio. They say that they're going to have around 6,000 police officers on hand for this event, including their new anti-terror force, the Critical Response Command. And they state that that's an additional 500 officers who are specialized in preventing terror. So you're going to have 6,000 cops keeping an eye on 1 million people getting wasted in Times Square. Now, of course, they're not going to mention any type of the surveillance equipment or techniques that they're going to be using, but I assure you there's going to be plenty of technology in Times Square for this holiday and the days leading up to it, of course. Hope you guys are all safe out there and have a good New Year, good holiday. And I'll leave a link. This is Spiro.
Capital cities across Europe are stepping up security over the winter holidays following warnings from Austrian police that possible attacks could take place between Christmas and the New Year. Some countries are certain that further attempts of terrorism will be made, in fact.
We know perfectly well that they will try to strike again. We're working on our security so that we're not caught off guard.
Those warnings haven't gone unheeded in Europe, with the public more ready to report anything suspicious, it seems, than they were before. In the latest example, an unattended package drew the attention of passengers on a train in Belgium. The station was evacuated. Several trains were cancelled too. Now, police later said that was a false alarm. A representative of the country's railways said people were under a kind of mass psychosis that made them quick to panic these days. Similar incidents have been reported all across Europe. RT's Anastasia Cherkina reports now on how this underlying fear of a terror attack is changing the lives of people in London.
For Brits, the terror attacks in Paris have led to changes, like government policies such as strikes over Syria. At home, vigilance and preparedness are now encouraged even more. And while some Londoners have made a point of going about business as usual,
If anything, I'm more determined than ever to lead a normal life.
For others, a change in behavior has been inevitable.
I've tried to avoid maybe crowded places a bit more.
No, I suppose so, because we've had a history of attacks in this city, so I can understand if people need to be careful.
Some sort of illusion of being safe within a crowd, but obviously the Paris attacks have proved that doesn't make anyone safe at all. It could be anyone.
According to a YouGov poll conducted after the events in the French capital, the Paris attacks led to nearly 1 in 6 Londoners changing their behavior to reduce risk in case of a similar scenario here, like staying away from busy places or public transport. It also showed that as many as 4 out of 5 Londoners worry that the British capital could also be a target.
Paris has been hit twice in the same year. We're getting into a period now where people are perhaps going to have a permanent shift in consciousness.
The threat of terrorism and the fear of it personally is definitely affecting my work. I don't really want to go anywhere.
Jewel now also avoids public transportation and crowded places. Her tradition of going to the theatre over the holiday season is now also a thing of the past.
I don't feel it's safe at the moment. Also, a lot of people are very scared because the government, against most people's wishes, are bombing Syria, which is not the way that most people think it should be. And look what happened in Iraq, killing innocent people. It's like that is going to encourage people to become radicalised. I mean, I'd be really angry if someone in my family had been injured.
Psychologists say panic attacks, depression and post-traumatic stress disorder do tend to rise after major tragedies.
The patients that I'm treating, following the Paris attacks, it did increase their sense of risk and danger.
But with a threat now increasingly perceived to be around every corner, these feelings seem to be transitioning from a brief overreaction to a common part of reality. Anastasia Cherkina, RT, London.
Americans are ready to send in the troops against ISIS. I'm John Phillips, and this is Pole Position. The American public hates the way the Obama administration has been handling the war against ISIS. A newly released CNN ORC poll found that fully 64% of us from both parties disapprove of what the White House is doing, while only 33% approve. When asked specifically about the military response, the vast majority, 68%, said we're not being aggressive enough, while a tiny 4% say it's been too aggressive, and 26% say it's been about right. When asked about Syrian refugees, 16% of Americans strongly favor, and 22% somewhat favor, letting them in. 18% somewhat oppose, and a whopping 43% strongly oppose any Syrian resettlement into the United States. So 66% of Americans don't want Tom Baudet to leave the light on for them. The poll also found that for the first time, a majority of the American people, 53%, favor sending U.S. troops to fight ISIS. 45% are opposed. Finally, when asked if there was ISIS terrorists already inside our borders with the resources to launch a major attack, 81% said yes, while only 16% said no. But here's the kicker. This poll was just released, but it was conducted shortly before the worst terror attack in the U.S. since 9/11, when 14 people were slaughtered by ISIS-inspired Islamic radicals in San Bernardino, my home county. If such a large majority of Americans before the attacks didn't like how the president was handling ISIS, were suspicious of allowing more Muslim refugees in the country, favored vigorous military action against ISIS, and were convinced terrorists are already here, what do you think those numbers look like today? That's the position of the polls. But now it's time to make your opinion known. Do you support sending American troops overseas to fight ISIS? Tell us your thoughts in the comment section below. I'm John Phillips for Pole Position. Thanks so much for watching.
All we've heard from our president in recent weeks has been climate change.
If the American people see the President of the United States standing on top of a melting glacier
and telling them the world is in trouble, will they care?
Behind me is one of the most visited glaciers.
Terrorism and gun control.
Mass shootings, common sense gun safety laws, stronger background checks, terrorism.
And at one point, he even said talking about climate change is his way of fighting the terrorists.
And next week, I will be joining President Hollande and world leaders in Paris for the Global Climate Conference. What a powerful rebuke to the terrorists it will be.
He talked about how he was going to the Paris climate change talks. He talked at the Paris climate change talks.
The growing threat of climate change could define the contours of this century more dramatically than any other.
He talked about the Paris climate change talks before he left the Paris climate change talks.
Once again, I want to thank you, the people of France and President Hollande, for their extraordinary hospitality.
Then he addressed the nation about the Paris climate change talks when he came back.
In my first inaugural address, I committed this country to the tireless task of combating climate change.
It was all over the news. It was all they were talking about. It was the top story for the whole time period that was going on. It was very heavily pushed. That was the agenda. So we've heard all about it. We've been fully apprised of the situation. Here's what you've probably not heard about at all. There is currently, right now, and has been for 2 months now, an unstoppable gas leak in California that is not only being called the worst catastrophe since the BP oil spill, it's also being called the worst gas leak in California state history. Methane is coming out of the ground with the force of a volcanic eruption. 150 million pounds of methane has been released in the atmosphere in less than 2 months. It's leaking at 110,000 pounds an hour. It's unstoppable. They don't know how to fix it. They just keep saying they don't know how to fix it. They don't know how to stop it. And Zero Hedge has pointed out that methane is 72 times more impactful than the carbon dioxide that Obama's always talking about. Traps a lot more heat in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide ever wishes it could. This is a much more powerful greenhouse gas if we're going to get down to brass tacks. And this has been going on this whole time. And where is that in the top news? Where's that in a top story? I haven't seen hardly anything about this at all. In fact, what was last week's top story? Hillary Clinton's bathroom break at the debate, or the fact that Trump said she was schlonged by Obama? Like, that's our top news. They're not talking about this. All Obama talked about was climate change. Do you know what this gas leak is? This gas leak is the equivalent of what 6 coal-fired power plants would put out in a 20-year time frame. The coal-fired power plants that Obama said he wants to regulate out of existence, what 6 of those would put out into the environment in 20 years, in less than 2 months. 20 miles south of Los Angeles, have you heard about it? Has Obama said anything about it? So, massive natural gas leak at a storage facility in Aliso Canyon. First of all, I hadn't even heard about it till I read about it on Zero Hedge. Why am I reading about that on Zero Hedge, which is usually about economic stuff? Why am I not seeing that as a top news story on any other major site anywhere? They've had to evacuate all the neighborhoods around this. They don't know what to do to fix it. They don't know what caused it. They're saying it could be weeks or months. They don't really know how to plug this leak or stop it. So eventually this will surpass the BP oil spill if they can't get it under control. And it's one of the biggest leaks that's ever been reported of natural gas in the history of time. It's just Obama is over there talking his butt off about climate change. Meanwhile, this is happening right here, right now. They can't even tell you what the environmental impact of this is going to be. And Obama has said what? Nothing. All that stuff about the climate change talks and Paris, and if you didn't already know that it's complete and utter bullshit, you do now.
Hey guys, this is Spiro with a heads up for those of you down under. As a freight train carrying approximately 200,000 liters of sulfuric acid has derailed around 10:20 local time in the morning, about 20 kilometers east of Julia Creek. As you can see here, they state 26 carriages. And for those of you here in the States, that would be 26 cars. We'd call them, you know, cars. But they state that this is a minor leak of acid with some diesel fuel. Now, they have set up a 2-kilometer exclusion zone around this spill and has shut down the highway, as you can see here, just east of Julia Creek. They state that 3 minor injuries were sustained during this derailment, and they expect that the exclusion zone lasts throughout the afternoon at this point in time. So this is a breaking story. There's not a whole lot of other information at this point in time. No word on just exactly how much sulfuric acid was spilled into the environment, but they're calling it a minor leak. But all 26 cars or carriages have derailed. And as you can see here, sulfuric acid is a acid that's odorless, colorless, and highly reactive to other materials. And they state that the exposure can include lung damage, vitamin deficiency, and possibly cancer. Right. So yes, it is a carcinogen at this point in time, in my opinion. Any kind of acid or chemical would be, obviously. So I just wanted to put the heads up alert out there for those of you in Australia, anyone near Julia Creek, heads up. As the highway is shut down and there has been a train derailment, not sure how much sulfuric acid has actually spilled. They say minimal acid and diesel fuel. But they still feel the need to put up a 2-kilometer exclusion zone, which for all intents and purposes, you know, safety first, right? 200,000 liters of sulfuric acid being carried on this train at the time of the derailment. I'll leave links. Thanks for watching. This is Spiro. Much love.
Sky High Skank enjoys 3-course meal with wine at local Walmart. Walmart may be famed for its low prices and value for money, but a fine dining experience is still possible. Just ask Florida resident Jocelyn Lopez. Lopez, 20, was as high as a kite on December 22nd when she entered the Walmart in Lecanto and hopped into a motorized shopping vehicle. First, she helped herself to an aperitif, grabbing a bottle of wine from the store's alcohol section. Then, for appetizer, she enjoyed some sushi before thoughtfully placing the leftovers back on the shelf for the next customer to enjoy. For entree, she decided to have the delicious rotisserie chicken before moving on to the freshly baked mini muffins for dessert. A staffer then decided to bring an end to her gastronomic journey, the bill for her in-store indulgence coming to $32.36. When police searched her, they found 2 empty syringes in her bags, which Lopez admitted were used for injecting meth before her brazen pre-Christmas food fest. She was later arrested and charged with shoplifting and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Ow. And blame water for how my fucked up life turned out. I like a champ. Ow. Cause I'm black, and that's a fact. Gotta have my kills with that. Like a champ. Ow.
To Newport News, witnesses say several fights inside the Patrick Henry Mall had people running all over the place. It's a story we first brought to you as breaking news at 6. 10 on your side, Matt Gregory is live at the mall with the latest information. Matt.
Liz, what happened inside the Patrick Henry Mall earlier tonight, witnesses have told me, can only be described as complete chaos. Now, we have viewer cell phone video to show you so you can get an idea of what happened when hundreds of teenagers, police say, started a brawl inside the mall. The scene inside the Patrick Henry Mall, best described
like a stampede
by people who saw it from the beginning.
Everyone was just going crazy. I seen mothers with babies crying. I seen so many people. They were just in just so much distress.
This video captured by witnesses shows a large group of teenagers running through the mall. Police believe there may have been as many as 200 of them.
They ran from one side to another side, then all the way to the food court and by JCPenney's and stuff. It was just crazy.
But what happened next went from just dangerous to dangerous and violent. This viewer's cell phone video captures the moment when the teens started to turn on each other.
It was like groups of fights. It wasn't like just one-on-one type of fights. Like, it was like riots.
The shoppers say fights like this raged across the mall.
I stayed stationary. A lot of people, the stores, they were letting people go inside and they'll close the gate.
Newport News police and mall security rushed to the food court area.
And then the police come running in, breaking up, trying to break up all the fights. Mall security, everybody was just there, breaking up all the fights. And then every time they escorted somebody out, it was another fight.
They broke the fight up. They escorted the people involved in the fight, escorted them off the mall property. Everything started calming down.
Police say they made no arrests. They also say a 17-year-old girl was punched in the face, but she didn't want to go to the hospital.
Oh, my God. What is going on? Like, this is crazy. It's all these little kids. This is the day after Christmas. Like, this is crazy. Like, you have no regard for anyone else's safety.
Newport News police say the mall was never evacuated tonight, nor was it locked down. Now, we reached out to the Patrick Henry Mall to find out if there's anything they're going to be doing in the coming days or in the future to prevent events like this from ever happening again. And as soon as we get that information, we'll bring it to you at home. In Newport News, I'm Matt Gregory, 10 on your side.
From our South Jersey Bureau, police say more charges could be filed over a disturbance involving hundreds of people at the Deptford Mall. Just take a look at this video from Saturday night. It shows a large crowd near the Sears store. Outside, some fights broke out in the parking lot. Police were eventually able to disperse the crowd. They arrested one teenager who was later released to a guardian.
Camera, a mall melee breaks out at a food court inside Sherwood Mall in Stockton. Multiple officers rush to the scene to break it up. It's just the latest fight to occur at a Stockton shopping center this holiday season. But as Fox 40's Doug Johnson reports, this police say this is not a growing trend.
People obviously could have been hurt during the fight inside that food court, but Stockton police say they were actually fortunate that they had officers inside when it broke out. Tension has since calmed back down inside the Sherwood Mall patio food court, but Saturday there was chaos. I'm ready.
Look, there was a large fight in the eatery, so when our officers responded, they saw security officers were trying to break up a large fight of approximately 40 to 50 juvenile males.
This cell phone video of the fight posted to Facebook, security and police officers can be seen trying to break them up. All innocent people are fleeing the area. Soon, things got dangerous.
And during the fight, a group actually surrounded our officers, but we were fortunate that other officers responded quickly, and they were able to assist those officers and to get everybody outside the mall.
In the end, police arrested a 15-year-old male for resisting arrest, but this isn't the first fight at a Stockton mall this holiday season. Right across the street from Sherwood at Weberstown Mall, a similar cell phone video shows two women hitting each other inside of Victoria's Secret. Witnesses say the two were annoyed at the long lines and started fighting when one woman complained. Security at that mall broke the fight up as well. Sherwood Mall security told us they had no comment on the safety of their property. While Stockton police say they don't believe these fights are part of a growing trend, officers do suggest shoppers be aware of what's going on around them.
Something suspicious or something that's getting ready to occur, like a fight, please get on your cell phone and call the police department so we can get our resources out there to prevent anything from happening.
And despite these two fights, the Stockton Police Department does want to assure the public that it is safe to go shopping within their city limits. In Stockton, Doug Johnson, Fox 40 News.
And those City of Stockton police officers were contracted to work inside the shopping center by Sherwood Mall for the holiday season.
Is it time for a curfew at the Towson Town Center? You know, when you have 1,000 teens outside the mall shutting down roads and police hit with rocks, you better believe something has got to be done. ABC 2 News' Catherine Hawley with those calling for a change.
The mayhem broke out Saturday just after the Towson Town Center closed. In this cell phone video, you can see an officer tackling a teen. Baltimore County police say the situation escalated quickly, and the rowdy crowd of hundreds started throwing rocks at officers.
This was an unusually large crowd, and it was an unusually unruly crowd.
No officers were seriously hurt, and one teen girl was arrested for resisting arrest and assaulting a cop. Local lawmakers are now pushing for more control when the mall closes, saying the management company needs to take action. In a statement, County Executive Kevin Kamenetz says in part, the Towson Town Center management has an obligation to address the issue of large numbers of unsupervised teens leaving the mall at closing time. And other local leaders agree, including Councilman David Marks.
The mall needs to look at best practices. Clearly, there's other shopping areas that have had this problem, and the mall needs to see, should we be requiring youth under a certain age to have escorts by parents or guardians.
He wants to enforce a youth escort policy where teens would need to be with a parent or guardian after a certain time. Other shopping centers in our area have had success with this, and Mark says it would control crowds and give people in the area peace of mind.
People should feel safe when they patronize a business or when they're working at a business. And when they leave the mall, they should feel comfortable leaving those environments.
Catherine Hawley, ABC 2 News.
We reach out to the management company at the Towson Town Center, but have not heard back.
Now to our big story at 9, mayhem in the mall. Shoppers at a Madison mall found themselves ducking for cover when a shot is fired on the busiest shopping day of the year.
And one person is hurt. Police are searching for a suspect. Fox 6's Rachel Ballion has the latest details.
At least one shot is fired at Madison's East Town Mall Saturday afternoon, sparking a mad dash towards safety.
It was a panic. It was chaos. Everybody was running. It was like Black Friday, but 10 times worse.
It all happened a little before 3 p.m. Jason Kane says he was in the mall shopping with a friend when he heard the sound of gunfire.
First thing I told her to do was leave, get to your car right now.
Police say it all started when about 10 young men were involved in a disturbance near the mall's center court.
One of those 10 produced a handgun and fired at least one shot. It struck one person who was involved in the fight in the leg.
The 19-year-old victim was taken to a hospital with what are believed to be non-life-threatening injuries. Police say a mall merchant was also hit by ricochet.
Struck in the leg. The round or the fragment didn't even penetrate his pant leg, let alone cause any injuries.
Police say they don't yet know what led to the shooting, but those involved in the incident fled from the mall property. By early evening, police had detained an unknown number of people, but also say they are still searching for a suspect.
Because there were so many people here, we have a lot of eyewitnesses and a lot of people calling. So we have descriptions of people. We also have descriptions of vehicles.
Police are asking anyone with information about the incident or the people involved to contact the Madison Area Crime Stoppers. Reporting in Madison, Rachel Ballion, Fox 6 News.
And the mall shut down for several hours following the shooting. Police tell us the mall was expected to reopen sometime this evening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Freedom Fighter Times. Mall at St. Matthews, the mall St. Matthews shut down Saturday night after police respond to numerous riots. Louisville, Kentucky, Mall St. Matthews on Shelbyville Road was shut down Saturday night after police say they had to respond to several disturbances involving teens. St. Matthews police say officers were already working at the mall, responded to a disturbance at around 7 p.m. The disturbance escalated and the officers began receiving calls about several other disturbances, according to St. Matthews Police Public Information Officer Dennis McDonald. To say that it was a riot, that would probably be accurate, McDonald said. St. Matthews police say there was around 1,000 to 2,000 juveniles at the mall Saturday. Quite honestly, they became overwhelmed with the number of calls they were getting, McDonald explained. They requested assistance from additional officers, and at that point, things continued to escalate. Authorities say 40 to 50 officers responded from different agencies, including Louisville Metro Police, Jefferson Town Police, and the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, LMPD's helicopter was also assisting in the investigation. We're told that there were numerous fights, kids running through the mall and kids running through stores. We do have some reports that store managers, store operators at some point decided that they had seen enough, and when they attempted to close their store, there were juveniles and other people who were refusing to leave, McDonald said. Police also say there were reports of shots fired, but they have not been confirmed. McDonald tells us officers have had issues with kids at the mall before, but nothing to this extent. Throughout Christmas season, we've had officers detailed to the mall, inside the mall, and outside of the mall. We've had instances of disturbances. Those disturbances were quickly handled and were put to rest. This was something we tried to account for, but we didn't foresee this kind of thing happening, he said. Right now, police say they don't think the chaos was planned. I believe this was random, McDonald told WDRB News. I believe this was a byproduct of juveniles congregating and there being some disturbances growing out of that. Fights, if you will, those kinds of things, and escalating out of control. As quick as we would get there, they would disperse, move to another location. And what we've tried to do is continue to keep them moving, either toward home or mass transportation. Police say kids involved are mostly middle school to high school age, and that they were communicating through social media. The law enforcement agencies that responded were broken into zones along Shelbyville Road to disperse crowds. So anyways, there's a riot situation that was taking place at St. Matthew's Mall in Louisville. And apparently, I guess the situation is still ongoing, so we'll see what happens. God bless and carry on.
And blame water for how my fucked up life turned out. I like the chip. Ow. Cause I'm black, and that's a fact. Gotta have my kills for that. Like the chip. Ow.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for checking out our folk channel. So recently, Samuel L. Jackson has been busted for having anti-white statements. I'm going to read you the one that he most recently did. But something that they didn't mention is he actually has a history of this type of stuff, and I wanted to point that out. So first off, let's get with the more recent one. He said, I can't even tell you how much I really wanted the San Bernardino shooting to just be another, you know, crazy white dude and not really some Muslims. I don't know how he can get away with that. You know, in Hollywood, there's these two celebrities that seem to always get away with their anti-white antics. And that would be Jamie Foxx, and second would be this guy, Samuel L. Jackson. So I wanted to point out another thing that I saw that was my first clue that this guy is pretty anti-white. What it is, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was an interview with this LA newscaster, and he mistook Samuel L. Jackson for Lawrence Fishburne. And dude, Samuel L. Jackson got so offended, and he brought up race. He said, we don't all look alike. And the guy just totally made a mistake. For example, there's white people that look alike too. Here, I'll put a picture right here. Okay, there you go. There's two white guys that look alike. And then there's white women that look alike. Here you go right here. In this case, one of them is a white American and a white Egyptian. So as you can see, I'm sure that those people could easily get mistaken as well. But for some reason, Samuel L. Jackson had to take it to the racial aspect. Recently, Samuel L. Jackson has also come out as anti-police with his statement, calling out the violence of the racist police. We ain't gonna stop till people are free. And this happened at a real time of turmoil in the country. Stores were being robbed and burned down because the police were being accused of racism. And Samuel L. Jackson took this opportunity to stir up the pot. And he likes to call everybody else a racist, but he's the one who seems to be so passionate about this thing. And with his more recent statement saying that he wished that the shooter was a crazy white guy, I think that it shows pretty clearly that the only racist here is him. That's my video for today, guys. Let me know down in the comments below what you think of Samuel L. Jackson.
Anyway, you working for Marvel, the Super Bowl commercial. Did you get a lot of reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, you know what? I've been my mistake.
You're as crazy as the people on Twitter.
Right.
I'm not Lawrence Fishburne.
That's my fault. Oh, I know boy. That was my fault. My mistake. You know what?
We don't all look alike.
You're exactly
we may be all black and famous.
You are
all
guilty.
I am guilty. I am guilty.
He thought you were Bob Dylan.
Right.
You're the entertainment reporter.
I know.
Entertainment reporter right. For this station.
Flog.
And you don't know the difference between me and Lawrence Fishburne.
My mistake. I apologize.
Really?
I apologize.
I'm the other guy. I'm the other guy. The other one. What's in your wallet?
Right. Yeah. That's it. That's exactly right.
There's more than one black guy doing a commercial.
There it is. No question about that.
I'm the what's in your wallet black guy.
Okay.
He's the car black guy.
There it is.
Morgan Freeman is the other credit card black guy. You only hear his voice, though, so there. You probably won't confuse him with Lawrence Fishburne.
You're 100% right. To RoboCop,
there's a heavyweight black guy that's like putting cash down in the seats in a baseball stadium, but he's also the black guy that turns off the house, the water, and the lights. when his kid tells him the house is cool. Right. I'm not that guy either.
No. Do we want to do a list of all the people that you're not?
And I've actually never done a McDonald's or a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. Fair enough. I know that's surprising.
Right. Fair enough, fair enough.
Oh, man.
To the original...
And I'm the only black guy in RoboCop that's not a criminal.
Okay.
Other than Michael K. White.
I'll tell you what, it's obviously a great cast, and this director does have some extraordinary credits.
You know who they all are, though, right?
Yes, I do.
I mean, just in case they have some of them on the show, do some work.
I won't make the
do
same...
Do some research. Make you know sure what? You don't confuse them with those other white actors that are out there. Like,
this is a well-deserved spanking. Thank you for it.
Before...
Police state. Homeless family could be stripped of government assistance because of GoFundMe campaign. Washington resident Demica Gilmore, her 15-year-old daughter who has bone cancer, and her 21-year-old disabled son had been homeless for the past few months until she started a GoFundMe page that momentarily gave them promise of a better future, until the government gave her a choice. She can either keep the donations or the government assistance. Gilmore was at one point living in the basement of a church in Tukwila, Washington, along with her two children, until some 300 strangers responded to her GoFundMe page and donated a whopping $15,000. The family's excitement about their newly acquired good fortune was short-lived, as government officials from the Social Security Administration and the state's Department of Social and Health Services were quick to pounce on the cash. If Gilmore keeps the money counts as income, and her family will lose their food benefits from the state, as well as their federal medical assistance, which is what's funding her daughter's chemotherapy. It seems like the government is asking Gilmore to choose between two situations in which her family loses out. Either way, neither the donations nor the government benefits by themselves will be enough to cover her family's needs.
Everybody knows that Hitler's a monster, right? You know, because, I mean, we've heard it at least 84 trillion times, maybe more. And... Jews especially, with Jews it's almost a mantra that they hear from the day they're born. You must hate Hitler. You must hate Hitler. You must hate Hitler. And on and on and on and on it goes. You ever wonder why, though? Why? Why is it? I know Hitler had mentioned a few unflattering things about Jews in Mein Kampf, but reality, in spite of what the Jewish-controlled media will tell you, Hitler really didn't talk about Jews that much. And the Jewish-controlled media would have you believe that's all Hitler ever did, is rave about killing all the Jews. That's all he did all day long. And from the day he was born, he came out, we gotta kill the Jews. I mean, that's what Spielberg would want you to believe anyway. But in reality, Hitler rarely talked about Jews. And he really didn't do much to them. So why did the Jews, or at least the Jewish leaders, declare a war against Germany? What was going on here? That's one thing I kind of knew the reason why, you know, Hitler was demonized, because he was a threat to their system. But I just kind of clicked on a little bit more specifically. The real reason for Hitler was demonized. And now there's a lot of things many people have heard, you know, like this here. You can find tons and tons and tons of information about the evil Nazis boycotting Jewish businesses. There's tons and tons and tons and tons of information on that. Wikipedia goes into that, how the evil Nazis are boycotting Jewish businesses. And but Wikipedia doesn't mention anything about why this was happening. You know, most people have heard that Hitler's a monster and hated all the Jews and wanted to exterminate them all. They never mention why, you know. Anybody's got a little bit of common sense, got to wonder, why would somebody want to exterminate an entire race of people? What's going on? It just doesn't quite add up. Well, it's not exactly what really was happening. One thing that you'll notice, this Wikipedia or almost all major publications will not breathe one word of, is this. All right. Jews declare war on Germany. This happened a couple weeks before this happened. This was in response to what the Jews did. But why? The one thing I never fully understood is, why did they do this? Why did the Jews declare war? Or at least, why did certain Jews want all of Judea to unite against Germany? Why? Why was that a declaration? What was so important? Shutting down Hitler. And, I mean, he'd just been chancellor. Actually, there were German businesses and banks that helped support him before. So something happened. What happened to make the Jews and Jewish businesses and the Jewish leaders of the world, particularly the banksters, what made them hate Hitler so much? Why? Why? What was going on? This has something to do with this. We were not foolish enough to try to make a currency backed by gold. I mean, I used to heard that you need to have the gold standard. No, you don't want the gold standard. Rothschild and the banksters own all the gold, okay? Now here's the queen surveying her gold. She's another gold hoarder, but not the only one, all right? Okay, we were not so foolish to try to make a currency backed by gold, of which we had none, but for every mark that was issued, we required the equivalent of a mark's worth of work done by goods produced. We laugh at the time our national finances held the view that the currency is regulated by gold and securities lying in the vaults of a state bank. And there we go, a state. He killed the state bank. He started going around the state bank. That's why he is demonized.
1775, the American Revolutionary War began as the American colonies sought to detach from England and its oppressive monarchy. Though many reasons are cited for the revolution, one in particular sticks out as the prime cause, that King George III of England outlawed the interest-free, independent currency the colonies were producing and using for themselves. In turn,
that's why the colonies were so wealthy.
And forcing them to borrow money from the Central Bank of England at interest, immediately putting the colonies into debt. And as Benjamin Franklin later wrote, in central banking practice, the control of interest rates and the control of the money supply or inflation. The central bank does not simply supply a government's economy with money, it loans it to them at interest. Then, through the use of increasing and decreasing the supply of money, the central bank regulates the value of the currency being issued. It is critical to understand that the entire structure of this system can only produce one thing in the long run: debt. It doesn't take a lot of ingenuity to figure this scam out. For every single dollar produced by the central bank is loaned at interest. That means every single dollar produced is actually the dollar plus a certain percent of debt based on that dollar.
Virtually every country operates this way, and the only ones that are resisting it are our enemies that have to be destroyed, like Syria, North Korea, I believe Iran, Lebanon. Libya was one, but Gaddafi let his guard down and was removed.
And since the central bank has a monopoly over the production of the currency for the entire country, and they loan each dollar out with immediate debt attached to it, where does the money to pay for the debt come from? It can only come from the central bank again, which means the central bank has to perpetually increase its money supply to temporarily cover the outstanding debt created, which in turn, since that new money is loaned out at interest as well, creates even more debt. The end result of this system without fail.
That's why all countries operate with inflation, except Germany of the 1930s had 0% inflation. So, since the Rothschilds, the banksters, they control everything. They have all the money. They control all the money. So even the big major corporations are using money from the banks. So the bankers, they have all the money and all the power. And that's why anybody who threatens them is going to be attacked and demonized, because they control all the press, all the media, all the publishing houses. So now, do you know why the Jews, or at least the Jews were told? I don't, the individual Jews on the bottom, they don't necessarily know that, you know, what's going on, okay? But they're told and programmed that they must hate Hitler, and everybody else is taught they must hate Hitler. And this is the real reason, you know, he didn't kill 6 million Jews, contrary to popular belief. If you want documentation of that, look up Ernst Zundel, David Cole is a Jew. He documents this. There's another Jew named Norman Finkelstein who, he doesn't deny the Holocaust, but he does show and explain how the Holocaust has been used as a political tool for power to start wars and to scam money. This is how Hitler defied the international bankers, all right? Many people take joy in saying Wall Street and the Jewish bankers financed Hitler. There is plenty of documented evidence that Wall Street and Jewish bankers did indeed help finance Hitler at first, partly because it was allowed the bankers to get rich, as I will describe below, and partly in order to control Stalin. However, when Germany broke free from the bankers declared war against Germany. When we look at all the facts, the charge that the Jews financed Hitler becomes irrelevant. Okay, anyway, and that's a guy from the log. Okay, when Hitler came to power, Germany was hopelessly broke. The Treaty of Versailles had imposed crushing reparations on the German people, demanding that Germany repay every nation's cost of the war. These costs totaled three times the value of all property in Germany. Private currency speculators caused the German mark to plummet, participating in one of the worst runaway inflations in modern time. I would say it was the worst. A wheelbarrow full of 100 billion mark banknotes could not buy a loaf of bread. The national treasury was empty. Countless homes and farms were lost to speculators and private Jewish-controlled banks. Germans lived in hovels. They were starving. Okay. Hitler began a national credit program by devising a plan of public works that included flood control, repair of public buildings and private residences, and construction of new roads, bridges, canals, and port facilities. All these were paid for with money that no longer came from the private international bankers. The projected cost of these various programs was fixed at 1 billion units of national currency. To pay for this, the German government, not the international bankers, issued bills of exchange called labor treasury certificates. In this way, the National Socialists put millions of people to work and paid them with treasury certificates. The biggest of all scams, the biggest of all evils, is the central banking system. Four U.S. presidents who were trying to stop the central bank in the United States ended up with bullets in their head. Just a coincidence, of course. The last being John F. Kennedy, who was issuing these debt-free silver certificates. Now, there's some people say, well, that's not the reason he was killed. You know, there's a lot of people that didn't like Kennedy, all right? But the only people that had the money, the power, and the audacity to control all the multiple organizations in you know, the CIA, the FBI, the Dallas police, in the not just national but international press, and cover it up for 50 plus years. The only group that meets the requirement is the international banksters. You know, it was keeping the central bank out of the U.S., which allowed it to be the most wealthy and powerful nation on earth. They kept it out for half of its history, anyway. There's other nations that are about the same size. Brazil, Canada, China, that are about the same size as the U.S., but they don't have near the power and the wealth. The claim that China's got all this wealth and is a big threat is a nonsense. The Chinese economy is nowhere near as powerful as they claim. They're just using that as an excuse. The only way China's economy could be a super powerhouse is if they get rid of their central debt-based monetary system. And Germany, during the 30s, got rid of theirs under Hitler's regime. And within 7 years, it went from the most messed up, bankrupt country to this economic giant that was almost powerful enough to take on the entire world single-handedly. So, now you know the reason why Hitler must be demonized and why the Jews declared war on Germany. Or, at least the Jewish leaders declared war on Germany.
Radio Werewolf News Hour, brought to you by RadioWerewolf.com.